2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
We're back with another DFS Army Bold Call Fantasy Basketball podcast. I'm Season Long Says, Alan Sislowski, here with my man, Mutt18. What's up, Mutt?
How's it going, man? Exciting stuff going on the other night.
Oh, yeah. What Mutt's referring to was we did our DFS Army Coaches Challenge Fantasy Basketball Draft, and a lot of people, drafted already. Maybe they got one more, two more drafts. The season starts Wednesday night, right?
Tuesday.
Tomorrow. Okay. So yeah. There might be a few more drafts tonight. I've seen some people do their drafts the day after that first game sometimes, just to kind of, and then you could draft those players and get those points. So we're here to give you.
Yeah, it's only two games.
Yeah. We're here to give you a few last minute pieces of fantasy advice for your fantasy basketball draft, kind of bring you through what happened in our draft. Some really crazy things, some values fell. Steve picked from what, the 11th spot in our draft?
Yep. Was 11.
Right. And I picked from the 5 spot. Steve and I, we had ranked the first two rounds on this podcast. And, we thought for sure people would be stealing our picks left and right. Steve, what actually happened there? People just kind of ignored it.
Yeah.
Yeah. To their own detriment. I mean, we like free money.
Yeah. And of course, we're playing each other week one, too.
Oh, yeah.
It had to shake out that way.
Which is fine. Let's get the kill shots out of the way, So for those of you who don't know, for those of you who are in the DFS Army, you're very familiar with Mutt18 and his DFS fantasy basketball prowess. He is the basketball guru of DFS Army. I came along as more of a season-long perspective. But the two do have more of a crossover than you would think. Isn't that right, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Explain
you to gotta look at season long trends if you're gonna find DFS plays. Honestly, you gotta know the rotations, who's playing, who's hot, who's not. I mean, if you're not following throughout the season, you're just playing daily, you're missing out on a lot of information. You have a big edge on the rest of the DFS community if you know what's going on.
So if you're new to season-long fantasy basketball or even just kind of casually dipping into DFS basketball right now, because a lot of people are still in football mode. It hasn't really fully, come full circle yet. Tell the people how they find you, the DFS Army subscribers already. How can they find and ask you questions? Where are you? Do you take Twitter questions? Is it mostly in the Slack
chat? I do mostly in the Slack chat. I'll be your main FanDuel coach this year. So Keg is going to be doing a lot of the sheets and stuff. And then me and DFS Madness will be your coaches in the Slack chat. I'll answer questions on Twitter too. My username on Twitter is Mutt_18. And then I'm obviously Mutt18 in our DFS Army VIP Slack chat.
So what happened? Mutt 1 through 17 was already taken, or what's with the Mutt?
That was my number in college.
So what sport did you play?
I played baseball.
Oh, you played baseball. Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Nice. What school did you go to?
I went to Suffolk University in Boston.
Oh, nice. All right. Excellent. All right. So now you know you have a collegiate athlete giving you fantasy basketball advice. That's exciting. That's cool, Steve. That's cool. All right, let's get right into it. The first round in our draft, you and I both had agreed mostly that Karl-Anthony Towns was as safe as a first overall pick, but it didn't go that way, did it? James Harden went off the board first. I'm just going to read the first 5 picks. There was one little surprise in there, nothing too crazy. James Harden went 1. Giannis went 2, Steph Curry went 3, which was a surprise. I mean, we're good with that, but it certainly was a little bit of a surprise. The Joker went 4. That was interesting, because if you're looking for a center there, obviously I took Karl-Anthony Towns at 5, which I was thrilled, and Beal went 6 and Anthony Davis fell to 7. talk about anything in there. You just brought up Nikola Jokic. Why do you think that that's a little bit of a reach at four?
Because you had Cat. Cat was right there.
How about the dual?
Jokic is great, but he's not Cat.
Right. So Cat being the just 82 game, you know, I mean, his under over for games, I looked it up, is 80 and a half. So, I mean, he's, you know, I'm sorry, it wasn't 80. It was 78 and a half, but that's just baking in a little bit of, you know, injury risk. I mean, it's, he's the safest it gets. When you picked at pick 11, Steve, you took Luka Doncic in the first round. Now, ADP has him as a second round pick. Were you just saying, hey, I don't want to risk it? There's no way. Why did you go for Luka in the first round?
I think he could be a top five fantasy player on the year.
Okay.
I mean, the way him and Kristaps have looked playing together, the Dallas team's going to be a little, they're going to surprise some people. And he looks even better than he did last year already.
Yeah.
Just in preseason.
I mean, he's just so young that the growth for Luka is, I mean, it's same thing like with Giannis. Like, he can still get better. I mean, Luka's going to get better. He is not even close to seeing that version, and he's just so polished already. I mean, remember when they were talking about him being a 15-year-old playing professional basketball and dominating, you know, in his teenage years.
He's a freak.
Yeah.
He's the Serbian freak.
Yes. By the way, this podcast is sponsored by our friends at OverlayDFS.com. We're going to be talking about them throughout the podcast a little bit. Have you had a chance to play their new
start? I just signed up.
Oh, you did?
Good. I signed up last week. I haven't played anything yet. I was waiting for some NBA stuff, actually.
Yeah, and we're going to do a commercial read for them. But the reason I bring it up is that OverlayDFS.com, the new fantasy start sit game, Statsational, our brother at DFS Army, he signed up and he won his first tournament right off the bat. I didn't
ask. Sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, this guy just cracks the code, doesn't he?
He's a beast.
Yeah. All right, back to fantasy basketball a little bit, and we'll talk about our friends at Overlay DFS in a little bit. So second round, you landed Andre Drummond. I mean, that to me in a points league is an absolute steal. In Yahoo, they're so generous with position eligibility too. You got a forward and a center there. Talk to me a little bit. How thrilled were you to get what we thought was a surefire first round of Andre Drummond in the second round?
I was pumped. I almost honestly thought if – I was considering taking Andre before Luka, but I didn't want to risk it.
Right. So, you played I mean, chicken and won.
Yeah, that time I did. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we had I had a top 10 grade on Andre. He's not that far behind Jokic for me.
So for those of you that are Andre Drummond fan or not, you know, not too familiar with Andre Drummond, I mean, year after year, he just racks up, you know, points, rebounds. He's even gets you a handful of assists every game too. And he's even, you know, started shooting a couple three pointers. I mean, we'll see how long that lasts. But what I want to talk about is I see Blake Griffin, his teammate, going a little bit earlier than I like in a lot of these drafts. I did take him in this draft in round four. You know, that's right about the time I'm starting to get comfortable with him. Why are people off Blake Griffin? He just had an amazing year.
Injury history, probably. That's your biggest thing. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him play full 82 games. Plus, with Drummond there, he's going to be stealing some of those boards that he was getting when he was on the Clippers and stuff like that.
But last year he was, you know, he was had his best year of his career statistically, and he was a Piston.
Yeah, no, it's a good. I like the pick in the fourth.
Yeah, he
fourth
went
the round definitely.
Yeah, he went on name value a little bit early last night. He went in the second round. You know, again, that is probably drafting Blake Griffin at a ceiling. He's probably not going to break that ADP. You're not going to make a profit there. Anything else that stood out in the second round is Paul George in the middle of the round. I know. What's your feeling on Paul George? When are you hearing that he's going to come back for those drafting? Is it going to be like a 3-week thing, a 2-week thing? How long is
I heard 10 games minimum he's missing.
Okay. So when I hear something like that, I'm usually out on a player. Like in football, we heard that on AJ Green. Like, oh, he's going to miss like 4 games because I always fade the minimums when it comes to injuries. So where would you feel comfortable taking Paul George in these fantasy drafts?
Late fourth, into the fifth, maybe.
Okay, so you're not getting him, basically.
No.
Right. Right. Somebody's taking him in the second round in every single draft I've seen, and in sharper drafts, maybe he goes on the 2-3 turn.
Yeah, not touching him or Kawhi.
Okay. Oh, you're totally off Kawhi too.
Not in the 13th pick.
Yeah, no, he went 13th pick overall in our draft. We agree on that. Now, Russell Westbrook, he's been a polarizing guy too. So it depends on what format you're playing in, but Russell Westbrook could go as early as the top five, or he goes somewhere in round two. In a points league, where would you take Russell Westbrook? Obviously, you passed on him in your first two picks for good reason, but where do you think that he should be slotted in?
He's a late first, early second. You got a nice little steal there.
Yeah, he's talking about, I got him at pick 2.7 in our drafts. It sounds like we cleaned up here, but then it started going a little sideways. In our draft, and we'll try to post this draft board up, Zion. Okay, so this is a fun player that everybody likes to talk about. He went pick 4.10 in our 12-team points league. The injury, we wanted to talk about not only his injury, but what it means for the other players. First, how long do you think Zion's going to be out for? I know that nobody knows, but if you're talking DFS, like how long do you think the Zion Carnival is going to be, derailed right now?
I think it's going to be a little longer than people think. The Pelicans are going to be very careful with him. He's their number one pick. He's supposed to be their new replacing AD guy. And I mean, I could see him missing 3 to 4 weeks.
Would you say, would it be a stretch to say that we won't even see him before Thanksgiving? I mean, that would be 6 weeks.
There's just not enough info out.
Right. But if you're drafting today, you need to make that choice. Like, yeah. If you're drafting, where would you feel comfortable taking him? I mean, you're not going to take him anywhere in the third at this point, are you?
No way. I'd say if you get maybe late fifth, he can return some nice value, even being out for a few weeks. But there's just so many guys there. And plus, I mean, he is still a rookie. People forget that. He's going to go through growing pains. He's already injured before the season started. So,
yeah. I mean, I had heard some people talk about his weight. Maybe, it can be potential problems. He's got to kind of shed some of that baby weight, but he did look so good. He looked so good in the preseason. Numbers are just tantalizing. We're going to take a short break right here to talk about our friends at OverlayDFS.com, the new Stardom Sit'em fantasy game with progressive jackpots. Are you tired of having to pick the perfect player at every position in order to win your salary cap DFS league, Steve? Tired of your lineup being out of the money in the first 5 minutes? Introducing a new fantasy game where the pros with 150 lineups do not have the advantage. OverlayDFS.com, a new revolutionary start-sit game for fantasy sports, the destination for single-entry GPP. Here's how you play. You make 12 simple start-sit decisions from 30 choices that they present to you. A win, loss, or a tie will be awarded to the overall record for each decision you make. Records in the top 10% of your contest will win 9 times your buy-in. 12-0 records will win the guaranteed progressive bonus. All matchups are player versus player with whoever has more fantasy points. Usually 8-4 is good enough to cash. Sometimes 7-5 or 9-3, depending on the week. This week, some of the matchups that I thought were interesting, Steve, is you had Brady versus Darnold, right? So basically what you're going to do is you're going to pick which player is going to have more fantasy points. They give you 30 choices of matchups. Cross sport too sometimes. Football, baseball, okay? And then when basketball starts, oh my God, can you imagine what it's going to be like?
I can't wait.
Yeah, so I last year when we were just toying around, taking a look at this, I mean, literally every assist, every pass was flipping the standings on its side. So you can download their app, right? They could download their app by searching Overlay Fantasy Sports and check out OverlayDFS.com. You said you just signed up for an account, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so you let me know how it goes when you play it. I love playing this game. It's you're sitting there and within seconds, you're out of the money, and then, oh my God, you're winning 9 times your buy-in. It is the craziest sweat out there, and literally the pros have no advantage because it starts it. You pick the player who you think is going to have the most fantasy points. Some of the other matchups I saw there too were, I'm just looking here, Ben Watson versus Ryan Griffin. Can you think of a more duty matchup to watch? These two garbage tight ends. That's got to be hysterical to be sweating that.
Yeah.
Whoever has two catches for 20 yards wins that matchup.
Might even be pushing it there. One catch for 9 yards might do it.
Cool. So thanks to our friends at OverlayDFS.com for being such great partners and sponsors. We're big fans of their game. All right, back to basketball. All right, a player that went at the end of the third round in our draft that I'm not so sure on. I don't get any of him in any of the drafts I do, but what are your – talk to the people a little bit about Jason Tatum.
I think that's the Kobe hype. People, he's been working out with Kobe, and then the C's, they're taking a look at him long term to see if they even want to keep him. He played great the end of his rookie year, and then he really regressed last year.
That's my question. Did he regress or did he just disappoint? And was that, you know, a lot of people that are talking about because he, you know what, because Kyrie was there kind of cramping his style, like it didn't allow him to grow. I mean, we've all experienced that. Like we've been at a job and the minute there's someone that's been there that kind of had, you know, leaves, we're able to flourish. Is that what you predict will happen with Tatum? Is he going to have a mega monster year?
I don't think he's going to have a monster year. This is coming from a Celtics fan, but just because the addition of Kemba is kind of similar to the usage that Kyrie was going to take. But I think he'll definitely be way better than he was last year.
Yeah, like would you say, I mean, can he be a 15-5-5 type of guy? No problem. Oh, yeah. Maybe even better. Okay, so in the end of the third round, you're perfectly happy to get him there.
Yeah, end of the third, turn the fourth. Okay. I'd be okay taking them there.
All right. Couple other players I want to hit on before. By the way, Steve and I, we're going to make some bold calls. That's right. This is the DFS Army Bold Call Fantasy Basketball Podcast. So what we are going to do shortly is give you guys some bold calls for the 2019 basketball season. All right. A couple other players I want to hit on here. There is a good amount of buzz on rookie Tyler Hero. He went first pick of the 10th round in our draft. Right off the bat, do you like the value on Tyler Hero at 10.1?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Now, explain to the people, because I'll admit, like, I you know, and we're going to talk about rookie fever and helium and which guys are getting it, but Tyler Hero certainly looks like a real player right away, being the 13th overall pick in this year's draft.
Offensively, yes, he is the real deal. Why I'm not high on him? If I watch the preseason, just because I'm neurotic like that, and I like getting in a nice jump for my DFS and my season long things. He is horrible on defense. Like, I don't think he could even guard me. Teams were attacking him, and it's just the preseason. So I mean, you know how Spolster is. He's neurotic, and if he does something wrong, he's going to be in his doghouse, and then he's not going to see that many minutes, and he just looked so bad defensively that I don't see how he's not going to start losing minutes because he's going to be too much of a liability.
Okay, so you think it's not that it's not that you don't like his fantasy game, it's just that his defensive game is so deficient that that's going to limit his minutes.
I do, yeah.
Do you see Miami as a playoff team in the East?
Borderline. It's going to be, I think they'll be fighting out for like a 7th, 8th seed.
Okay, all right. So Tyler Hero, you're down on. You would draft him, but he's more like a last round type of pick for you.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So that's a good lead into our rookie fever. Steve, he texted me today and he said, what the hell is with all the rookies getting pushed up in our draft? And I said, you know, and my response to him was, rookies always get pushed up, especially in the NFL. In the NFL, it happens all the time because the shiny new toy. Now, for good reason, Zion was even going as a late second round pick. We weren't on board with that, but we understood it. Tell me the first rookie that stood out that you just, this blow, that the ADP just blows your mind.
RJ Barrett, in the 6th.
Okay, RJ Barrett in expert leagues usually goes
Ja Morant going before RJ Barrett.
Okay, John Morant going in the fifth round. Now, I've seen a couple expert leagues that the guys over at Yahoo did, and John Morant got pushed up that high as well. Now, you know, I felt the same way you did. I was like, okay, but he did look pretty damn good, and he's going to get all the minutes he can. What is your reservations about John Morant? Like, who do you think you would take over him, especially if you were looking at a point guard in the fifth round?
Point guard, SGA.
Okay,
he's looked really good.
Yeah, he's looked really good. So you like him better. You think anyone else? So where do you think that Ja Morant really belongs, if not a fifth round pick? Because I mean, that's where he's going at this point. His ADP skyrocketed. I mean, it had rocket fuel behind it.
I'd say mid sixth, early seventh is where I would take him.
Okay, so it's not like at that point of the draft, it's not like an egregious jumping. It's just, you know, you're drafting more based on projection there than you are actual. I mean, SGA is a little bit of projection too, isn't he?
He is, but he's also had a year or two in the league, and he looked really good in the preseason.
Yep, yeah, and if Chris Paul gets traded, I mean, you know,
just even better for him.
Sky's the limit. Speaking, you know, it's all right. What other you mentioned RJ Barrett? He went the sixth round in our draft, and I've seen in a couple expert leagues. Well, first of all, he's gonna in home leagues. RJ Barrett's gonna go higher, especially if you live in the Northeast and if you're a Knicks fan. I mean, homers will always take those guys. But where do you think RJ Barrett? I've seen him go around the eighth, ninth round in sharper leagues. Are you comfortable over at that spot? I mean, he's gonna get all the minutes he can handle.
I like him eighth, ninth. For sure. If you can get him in the ninth round, I think he's even a little bit of a steal. Right. But going in the sixth round, where you got, I got Steven Adams in the sixth round. I mean, I thought that was a steal right there for the center.
Steven Adams is always one of those guys that nobody really, you know, nobody wants, but he's, you know, he's like in football, he'd be like Larry Fitzgerald. Nobody wants, but the guy always produces, you know? I mean, he's just the, you know, boring veteran pick. And especially without Russell Westbrook there, he should be able, and, you know, Chris Paul is going to get him a lot of easy buckets. And he should, you know, a lot of those rebounds, Steven Adams should get a lot of those rebounds too, that previously Russell Westbrook was pushing people away for to get his triple doubles.
Jeremy Grant's gone too.
Oh, that's right. Where did he go?
He's in Denver.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think that's a problem though, because Denver's just so deep that, you know, I just don't know which guys are gonna get production outside of you know, the main couple there. All right. Give me one more rookie that you thought went a little bit earlier in our draft, and then we'll move on to some bold calls.
Sure.
How about Hachimura? I mean,
I was surprised.
He went in the 11th round, which is late. I mean, you know, at that point, you're shooting for upside. Do you not like him? There's been a lot of talk on Hachimura. I mean, he's going to get all the minutes he can handle. I mean, this Washington is going to be a bad team. There's going to be a lot of development production to go around there. You're not on board with Hachimura, or you're okay with him in the 11th?
I wouldn't be drafting him. Not yet. He seems... From what I've seen in the preseason, he seems a little scoring dependent. Mm-hmm. And that with rookies, as you know, fluctuates from game to game.
Right.
So,
but in a league where you have, say, like five bench spots, is he not worth like a pick and hold?
Oh, he's a stash. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But in leagues
that, very late.
Yeah. And in a lot of leagues where you only have three bench spots, you might not be able to do that. So I certainly understand that, you know, and also if he has a couple good games, that maybe Hachimura could be a nice DFS play on certain nights, you know, a min salary guy right off the bat there. All right. Bold calls, where people are getting ready to draft their fantasy basketball. We're excited for the season, but Steve and I have come up with a few bold calls. These are what I would call 90th percentile predictions. For example, these aren't things that are just totally out in the left field that can never happen. Like, these are things that if all things break right, maybe someone's, you know, 90th percentile outcome or some sort of event. So, Steve, hit me with your first bold call.
Bradley Beal might lead the league in scoring.
Okay. Give me your rationale.
He plays a ton of minutes. They just signed him to that extension, so I don't think they're going to trade him. They're building around him in Washington, as far as I'm concerned. He last year, when with no John Wall, he was playing 40 plus minutes a game. And I mean, who else is there that's going to score really for this team? Who's going to take the ball out of his hands?
Yeah. So you don't think that he's a candidate for any of this load management stuff or anything like that? That is a bold call. I'll tell you that. That, I mean, with James Harden out there, with all these other guys that could lead the league, with Giannis, what kind of PPG would he need be able to lead the league in scoring?
28, 29 points a game, I think.
You don't think anyone gets the 30 this year?
I don't think Harden will, not with Westbrook there.
Right. Okay. I like that. That is a bold call. I will give you that. All right. So you have him, and you know what? I'm trying to see, where did he go in our draft?
Sixth. Someone listened.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we were beating the drum for him for sure. All right. I got one for you here. Now, this is a bold call. In a per game basis, minimum 60 games played, Ricky Rubio will be top 3 in assists per game. Bold call. Thoughts?
Mutt? It all breaks right, yeah.
I mean, he was Luka Doncic before Luka Doncic. I mean, the only problem with Ricky Rubio was health. I love the way he passes the ball. I love the way he facilitates. I like the scoring options over in Phoenix. And if he could stay on the court, I've heard a lot of talk that they're going to give the ball to Devin Booker a lot to handle, but I just can't see why they would not use him more as a scoring option.
Yeah, he's much better as a two guard than he is a point guard.
Yeah, I could see like one of those Jason Kidd sort of seasons where he averages 9 points, 11 assists, and Ricky Rubio is a decent rebounder. I mean, he's not a zero in the rebounding category either. I see Rubio just tumbling down draft boards, and for good reason. But my bold call, I mean, that's a pretty bold call, that Ricky Rubio will be top 3 in assists. And when in fantasy drafts where you're just searching, scouring for point guard production after the fourth or fifth round, I think he's a steal at his current ADP in the seventh round.
Bold call. If he stays healthy, I'm actually on board with that.
All right, good. All right, Steve, Mud18, DFS Army, Bold Call Podcast, your bold call number 2.
Zach LaVine, most improved player of the year.
Ooh.
Calling it now.
He looks good. Now, I know you are a Zach LaVine truther. Take me through the 3 bullet points. Why do you think that Zach LaVine will be most improved player? I mean, we already know he's a skilled player and a hell of a dunker when healthy.
His shooting is improved. I don't know if you've been reading some stuff on him like I have. I've been following his whole offseason. He's been working on his defense. He wants to be one of the top defenders in the league. And Chicago, he wants to be the face of that city. I think this is his breakout year for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's already proven to be one of the most electric guys in all of the NBA. I mean, the dunk contest that he was in, I know that's not real basketball, but he just excites people. And a motivated Zach LaVine, oh my God. I mean, that is just going to be unbelievable. I love that, man. That's a great call. So you're saying not comeback player of the year, but most improved player. So he's like a guy that we're going to be taking in like the second round of our fantasy drafts next year.
He got sniped one pick before me.
All right. Well, try to go early and trade for Zach LaVine right now before the season starts. Maybe offer a guy that had some value later on. That's a great call. All right. My second bold call. Now, I'm an assist kind of guy. I like assists. I like old school basketball where there's a good point guard, and that's why I went with Ricky Rubio. Another guy who I think is an underrated passer who is going to finish in the top 9, so inside the top 10 of assists this year, assists per game, Draymond Green. Draymond Green is a do-it-all kind of player. I think that he actually enjoys setting up other players more than he enjoys putting the ball in the basket himself. I think that this is the type of team, now that KD's gone, he'll be forced into doing this kind of a role. I think you're going to see the ball in his hands because they just can't have Steph bring it up 100, you know, every possession. And I don't think they want D'Angelo Russell holding the ball too much. I think they want him to work a little bit off the ball. And if they get in trouble in the shot clock late, then sure, they'll give it to him. I think Draymond's going to be walking the ball up the court a lot. And I think he's going to get a lot of assists this year. I could see a situation where he's well over 7 assists per game. Your thoughts on Draymond Green and being in the top 10 in assists?
That's a bold call. I like that too.
All right.
Opening my eyes a little bit here. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, all right, cool, good, good. I'm glad you like it. It's confirming because Steve, is, you know, I look at you, you're one of the experts in here, and if I can open up your eyes, that makes me feel good too. All right, so we've
forget what he was doing before KD got there. He was a triple-double threat.
Triple-double threat every night. You were never surprised when he got one, and I just, again, I think that he was not a guy that cared if he scored. He was a guy that cared about the other stats a little bit more, and I think he's going to be a little bit motivated. All right, good. All right. We're going to finish up with two more bold calls, one from Steve and one from me. Steve, your third bold call.
We talked about it. I think I talked about my love for him a little bit last podcast. I think when we're going with assists, we're going to all stick with that. I think Mike Conley can lead the league with assists.
Cool. Yeah, you and I talked about Conley as being like one of the most underrated signings in
So good.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. And I love this call. I mean, it is, and again, I don't even know if it's a 90th percentile. I think that, like, that's even money. That's 50-50 that he could be the league leader in assists. You could, well, how many, what would you say? If you're going to project him to lead the league in assists, how many is he going to have to get a game?
Be borderline double digits. I mean, even pushing 10, maybe 11.
Right. Yeah. No,
he can do it, though, with that team.
Yep. Now, who do you think is going to be the beneficiary of that? Is it more Rudy Gobert inside? Is it something?
It's everybody. Honestly, I mean, they signed Bogdanovich too, who's a sniper from out there. Conley kicks. He can drive it. He can kick to either of those guys, or defense collapses, stays on them. He's got Robert for a dump off in the paint. Like, it's.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Where did Conley go in our draft? Conley, he went in the first couple rounds, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think actually he went later than I thought he was going to go.
I think he did too.
Yeah, he went 4.4. Oh my God, that's crazy. He went in the early third round in my draft last night, 4.4. That's such a great value right there. Before I give you my bold call, one guy I had my eye on, you were talking about the Bulls before. What are the fantasy prospects for Lauri Markkanen this year? Because he's always been one of my favorite players to watch, but in a little riddled with injury, goes a little earlier in drafts. And I like, is he somebody that you could see being a top 40 fantasy player this year?
It's going to be close. It's honestly, it's really going to depend on how healthy Wendell Carter stays.
Right. So his I was going to ask you, what are the roadblocks to Lauri Markkanen's fantasy value?
Wendell Carter. Those are the biggest. Because if he stays healthy, he's pretty underrated too. He was having a good year before he went down. And then that's when Markkanen exploded, is when he was having to share the ball with Robin Lopez and Feliciano, who weren't threats to him at all.
All right.
Wendell's cool. Pretty good.
All right, cool. Yeah, no, so going back to our last bold call, and yeah, I don't know how bold this is because he's everyone's favorite sleeper, but Bam, how do you say it? Adebayo? What's the correct pronunciation?
I think you nailed it.
Adebayo.
That's how I say it.
I mean, if you watched him last year, okay, I'll tell you my bold call, is that he will lead the league in steals plus blocks. Or sorry, not lead the league. He would be in the top 5 in steals plus blocks on an average. So when you add up the steals per game plus blocks per game, he will be amongst the league leaders. And again, I don't even know if that is like such a bold call because I just think they're going to unleash him this year. He did great last year, even with limited minutes. But now this is like it's like they just took all the, you know, they got rid of Hassan Whiteside. They was cramping style. He's been freed. I just think he's going to rack up the counting stats. He's going to be a major guy. I think we're going to see him as around 2-3 guy next year. I really think that he could be a top 10 center in this league, real life and fantasy. I know he's been a very popular breakout candidate, very popular sleeper, but I'm buying the hype on Bam. How about you?
Yeah. He ran Hassan Whiteside out of town, basically. with how well he played. I mean, I thought Hassan's pretty good, and this guy, he Spoelstra was like, nope, get rid of Whiteside, give me Bam.
Yeah, Whiteside was a little bit more of a, you know, there was always like drama surrounding him, and it was just, you know, it just, it wasn't working there. It's he's going to have
especially
a chance.
If you don't vibe with Spoelstra. He's a tough personality to get along with from what it seems like.
Seems like more of like a Bill Belichick in a sense where like, just do your job and play hard and you'll have no problems with Eric Spoelstra. I mean, the guy has certainly earned, you know, he's earned it through championships. I know people give a lot of credit to the players, LeBron, and for the bringing those championships and D Wade, but they all those guys that in an era where players complain about coaches, Spoelstra always gets thumbs up from all his players. All right, Steve, we did it again. The DFS Army Bowl Call Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Give the people one useful, actionable tip to take away if they're drafting tonight.
Grab Zach LaVine.
Grabs out. Can they grab him in late round three just to get him?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. All right.
I've reached a few times.
All right. And mine is grab Bam. And I know that, you know, Steve, it opened my eyes a little bit here to Zach LaVine. You know, he was on my radar, but not as a third, fourth round pick. I'm certainly going to be keeping an eye on him because I've always been a Zach LaVine fan. You know, I mean, who's not the way he plays? But all right, Steve, we did again. Tell the people where to find you on Twitter, on Slack. Give me all anything else you're working on or promoting.
So we're going big for NBA this year. Keg is leading the helm. Great guy to work for. He's I'm really excited about this year. My_18 on Twitter. Trying to get my followers up. So if you can follow me on that, that'd be great. And then I'm my_18 in the Slack chat. And then if you still haven't joined DFS Army, which I can't figure out why you haven't, my_18 gets you 20% off.
Absolutely. I mean,
forever. Not just a month. Your whole
So that's forever.
Forever.
Great. Great. And here, like and subscribe the DFS Army YouTube channel. If you're watching right now on YouTube, we're trying to, a lot of people listen on the audio podcast, but we're doing a video live cast too. So ring the bell, hit that little bell, and you'll get notifications of when Mutt and I come on. We're gonna do this once a week. And what's cool is that, you know, Steve and I, we're hoop junkies. We love basketball. I mean, we have other sports loves, but isn't it always like a little different when you're around other basketball like freaks? Because, you know, that's you can talk basketball with people around, and
a lot of people just don't really get it.
No, they just don't get it, and they're like, "Oh, I hate the NBA; it sucks now." Or, you know, but they don't realize it's actually better than it's ever been. It's better than it's ever been. Now, there was a period of time where the NBA, you know, it kind of leveled off. There wasn't a lot of scoring, and it was the player. You know, it was like the early 2000s. It was still very good, but the players are so much better than they've ever been now. They're even thinking about, because the game is spreading out so wide, putting in a fourth referee to regulate the game a little bit better. I mean, that's something we could talk about in another podcast. All right, guys. I'm Season Long Says at Alan Sislowski. You could also sign up for DFS Army using my promo code Says. Like our Facebook page as well, Twitter. Definitely hit the bell on the YouTube channel. For now, Steve, hopefully all your players stay healthy, and we'll talk to you next week.
You as well. And then best of luck to you this week, because we're playing each other.
Well, then no luck to you, man. No luck to you. You can have good luck after this week. Later, Steve.
See ya.